The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Air is the element of vibration, sound, communication and connection. Our words and thoughts are constantly creating waves of vibration that travel through intricate web of life, setting off change and manifestation as they go. Air is circulating energy. What thoughts and words we send out return to us, becoming our beliefs and the philosophy that we live by. This influences what we manifest for ourselves. If we believe in a positive outcome, then we are already united with it, removing the separation caused by doubt. We hold the keys in our own future by the beliefs we set in motion. It can be gentle and benign, or chaotic and destructive. It is the realm of the winged and the flying creatures, the skies, the clouds, and the earth's atmosphere. Air can be electric or stagnant. It can hold a blueprint of energy, and we can read its subtle changes. We can sense when the air is charged positively or negatively, whether it's bright and clear or murky and stuck. Our words, thoughts and beliefs, emotions and responses create subtle changes in the vibrational atmosphere around us, creating change in so many unseen ways, connecting, reforming and continuing on to create a new possibilities and inspiration for our futures. This episode is all about the elemental of air. This is our third elemental episode, and in it we talk about exactly what to do with air, how to use it in our practice mindfully with our children. In this episode, there's a lot of talk about tarot cards and the sword suit, and we have a few little shout outs along the way, and then we end as usual with a little spell from Cummings' book of the elements and one of my poems written especially for this episode. Jodie talks about intense incense, sharp knives, athames, and a lot of laughs along the way. So welcome back, pull up a chair, put your feet up, relax with us, and here we go into the episode of air.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bell Witch podcast by two modern day witches who help you to incorporate witchcraft into your day-to-day life. And how's your week? Or 2 weeks now it's been, hasn't it?
Been ages, done it. I mean, because we had half term and I was just so busy for half term. So busy. I know, I took the kids down to Wales for the Hay Festival on Hay on Wain, which is like South Wales on the border. And it was an epic journey. My God, I took the bell tent though. It's nice to have the bell tent out of the kids. We didn't really see much of Hay Festival because you had to buy everything separate. But
yeah,
the town was nice because it was a book town. I got some witchy books, and that's good.
What books did you get? Which ones can you recommend, or do you think everyone should get?
What, from Hay Festival?
From the ones that you got, yeah.
I haven't actually looked at them yet. I got one. I got a runes one by Sorja, is it? And I got one about tarot from a woman's perspective.
Ooh.
I think it's quite an old one, that one. And I got some pagan poetry books.
Oh, lovely.
But it's that kind of like you get home and you've got to get everything away, and I'm still catching up on myself doing all that.
I actually was messaging, if anyone's ever been to Spooks in Haworth, the sort of tarot and witchcraft shop in Haworth, friends online with, and you know, I've met them in person a couple of times, the ladies that work there, and one of them recommended a book earlier on to me that's about feminist tarot readings. It was just called The New Feminist Tarot by Jean or Jean Breer. £2.62 on eBay. I might have to get it.
Absolutely get it. Absolutely. I love Spooks. Spooks is so historical, isn't it?
It is.
Been there a long time. And I remember my mum taking me when I was like a really little kid and spending all of the gyro money in Spooks.
Easily done. And the people who work there are all so, so, so knowledgeable. Like, they really are sort of experts on tarot who read in like numerous different systems and can give like, can give really, really solid guidance on which decks to buy, which books to read. They're really, really amazing. Some of them have like 40 years experience reading, which I think is just incredible. And Haworth in general is a really, really good little witchy day out. They actually have this, I keep getting adverts for this thing called Haunted Haworth that sounds really good, because apparently like Haworth has quite a good ghost hunting scene.
Oh, the Bronte stuff, isn't it? Like, the Bronte house is there. So it's a very poetic town. I've not been for years, though. I can't remember last time I went. Have you been recently?
We go quite regularly. I'd say quite regularly. We maybe go 2 or 3 times a year. It's just a nice place to be, isn't it? And it's so close as well.
I just remember walking up the cobblestone hill when I was unfit.
It's too much, isn't it? I have asthma, which links in with our theme for this episode, which of course is air. It's horrible not being able to breathe. Absolutely horrible. Yeah. What else has been going on with you?
Well, it's a bit of a tricky month for me, isn't it? Because June is when I lost my mum. Oh, it was 18 years ago now. So I got a bit sad and I booked myself on this Zen night with the local crystal shop called Crystal Booth, is it?
Yeah,
it was strange because it's like it's just up the road from me, but it's on a Thursday night, so I can't usually go because I take my kids swimming. But because it was half term, swimming wasn't on. I went up not knowing what to expect, and it was such a lovely environment. And the lady who runs it, Angela,
she's incredible.
She was just so welcoming, and she could feel I was a bit sad, and she gave me a crystal to help. And it was really interesting because the meditation was all about air. I was just like, how weird is that, you know, about breathing and feeling the air and flying with the birds and all that. So I was a bit like, ooh, that's uncanny. And then afterwards, she came and sat with me and gave me some Reiki healing, which was just so unexpected.
I
needed it. And then I remember I had pain in my lower back and that just went. And that night I slept like an absolute log.
Did she tell you about her healing journey?
No, she didn't, no.
So the Crystal Booth, for anybody that wants to follow them, they are the Crystal Booth _22 on Instagram. And Angela, she's just really, really down to earth, proper working class lass who's had struggles in life. One of the main ones being that she really suddenly lost her mum. So I guess maybe you guys are kind of linked in that way. For her, it was very sudden, very unexpected, I think. I don't know if it was like completely out of the blue or if she was just ill for a really short intense period of time, but I know it was quite quick. I think her life kind of took a bit of a spiral afterward, and she began training as a hypnotherapist and Reiki practitioner mainly for her own healing journey, and she's been able to go out and heal all these other people. And the thing that I love about her is, you know, she's common as muck. And I think sometimes people feel like when you're at your lowest, you don't always want to seek out healing, because you think, oh, I don't want to go in that beautiful crystal shop and take my negative energy in there. Angela is the kind of person who is, you know, surrounded by people who have had the fair share of difficulties, and, you know, who she's really an absolute inspiration. Someone who's, like, you know, taken all the struggles and made her dream life out of it.
Oh, bless her. She was lovely. And I think I could tell she knew my pain, so... Yeah. When the Reiki came, you know, it made her a little bit upset as well because she could feel it. So it was nice to meet her.
Can I plug the event that I'm doing with Angela throughout the year? She's running these amazing retreats called Revive Your Zen, and they take place in Scarborough at this absolutely beautiful, beautiful house that someone's just really kindly letting her use to host these retreats. And there's absolutely all sorts there. There's like Reiki, healing, sound baths, cacao ceremonies, and I'm going to be doing tarot workshops and readings at the events, and there's quite a few throughout the year, but they just look absolutely incredible. So if you want to take yourself off and have a bit of a spiritual break,
oh my god,
I just imagine like in Fleabag, you know, and she goes on the spiritual retreat and she's like screaming and yelling.
As though guys next door are also having a spiritual retreat, aren't they?
Yeah.
She ends up going to theirs. So yeah. Good.
Yeah, I think it's nice when you're with people that are really, really down to earth. They've got the most incredible chef there, a guy called Invigorate. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. He's a local vegan chef, and he cooks like all raw, vegan, plant-based, really, really nourishing, high vibration foods. And he's going to be catering for the whole weekend. It's just going to be incredible. I mean, a smoothie bowl and some tarot readings and sound baths, and yeah.
Are you working it, are you?
I am, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very, very lucky that I am. Met Angela at the time that I did, right as she was beginning to plan it.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, so I'll be doing experiential meditations. I'm actually happy to write it up at some point and do it on here so that people can experience it firsthand. But it will essentially be journeying into a tarot card.
Nice. And when is that?
There's a few.
Throughout the year?
Yeah, there's a few throughout the year. So they run in... There's one in June, but I actually can't make that one specifically. And then there's one in September. Is the one in October as well?
Over Samhain?
No, there's one in September. I can't remember when the last one is. I'm sure there's three throughout the year. There might just be two though.
As long as we can camp this year, we're going to camp, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
We need to plan it.
We're off to our nice private camps, aren't we?
At some point in our lives, in our busy lives.
Yeah. This week in witchcraft with me, been really enjoying gardening and getting into green witchcraft. And I've mentioned a few times that me and my little girl had made a tea garden. I think I've mentioned that a couple of times on here probably. We kind of planted some herbs and flowers to make different teas, and we've been able to actually get out into the garden and harvest some of our herbs and make yummy delicious teas, as well as harvesting some wild flowers that had kind of sprung up throughout the garden. So we had loads of herbs Robert spring up, so I've been putting that in our teas, and it's really, really nice for me to be like out in the garden. It's nice sort of socially, but also just personally, and to have a bit of tranquility throughout the day, and also to like have something to work at, because I can like go out in the garden and get my hands all mucky doing like digging and weeding and tilling and everything and planting new seeds, and then obviously spend my day drinking cups of tea, reading tarot cards. And I've been focusing a lot on learning more about Marseille tarot, which is a system that, well, it's the original tarot system. It's where all your swords are just swords, you know, there's no imagery that tells you what the card means, and it's very sort of systematic. Somebody said, I can't remember who said it now, but it's like a quote from somebody that modern day tarot is dry but Marseille tarot is wet, and it's like it has to flow and be open, and it's just a really, really different style of reading. A lot of it's based on like numerology, so that's just been really, really interesting for me, as well as learning about the history of the figures within the tarot. So specifically, the one that really pulled me in this week, that has just completely and utterly inspired me, was the history of the High Priestess within the tarot. And she was actually based on a specific Popess. So originally she was called the Popess, and she was based on Sister Maifrida di Piravano, who was around in the 1200s, and she was part of a heretical, mystical, feminist Christian sect. And because they were feminists, they elected her as like their pope. And she was actually related to the Visconti family, who commissioned the earliest tarot deck. back. So yeah, she was the sect that she was head of were known as the Guglielmites, but I just found it so fascinating to know who the High Priestess in the High Priestess card is.
Wow.
Yeah, it knocked my tits off.
Because it is a pip deck, isn't it? They call it a pip deck. When there's when it's just like swords, five swords, six swords.
Yeah, I also had never really thought about the hierarchy of the characters in the Major Arcana, which I thought was really interesting because, like, the High Priestess was kind of, she's the second card. She's above the Magician, who's like a con man. So she's got, like, more status than the con man. She's got, like, more spiritual insight, but she's kind of lower than most other people because she's still heretical and a woman. So the Empress is above her because she's got, like, royal status. And obviously the Emperor's above the Empress because he's male and, you know, kind of in charge. But then the Hierophant, the reason the Hierophant is above the Emperor is because Hierophants were originally, the card was called the Pope. And the Pope was seen as Emperor of Emperor and was the highest status that you could get in Rome in that time. So I just thought it was really, really cool to kind of think about the historical side of the tarot decks and the illustrations. Yeah.
Is that a man of the cloth is the highest it can be.
Yeah. Mad, yeah. So yeah, really, really good, curious and nice week for me, but again, massively dominated by parenting over half term.
It's just, you can't avoid it, can you? It's all about the kids, to keep them happy and to meet other kids so they have a social life. I've done a lot of that this time. I also had an epiphany recently because when I did that retreat a few weeks ago and ended up giving people Reiki by accident, and then the story goes, I had a quick look into like Reiki insurance, it's really cheap. I found a bed locally for 20 quid. Conscious Crystal in Armley, I've got a cheap room for rent, so I fell into getting that. And I booked a date to do official Reiki, Crystal Reiki healing, on the 14th of June, which is a Wednesday, sort of 10 till 2 because school run. If you're listening to me, come on down. It's like a taster. It's to get me into it. It's free. Or if you want to do an energy exchange, you know, bring a candle or something. Just to see if we get my practice on and be nice to meet people who listen to this podcast, because you have this opportunity much more than I do because you've got your tarot on the road. So a lot of it is, it'd be nice to meet the Bell Witch podcast listeners.
That's something, isn't it, is that I meet a lot of people that come and like, I love your podcast,
and it must feel so good.
It's fulfilling. It's really, really fulfilling, because what people always say is that it helps them connect with their practice and also with the children, if they have children or people that have felt like they're struggling to feel like a proper witch, and then they're able to kind of connect with that side of themselves. So it's always really, really lovely.
It'll be good. I mean, I'm quite nervous, and I can't believe it's taken me this long to figure it out, as it always seemed to take a while to come to me. But when I were doing it at the retreat, it was like, blimey, why are I doing this on the road all the time? And then you mentioned the bell tent. I could do Reiki in a bell tent. I mean, how cool is that? Crystal Reiki healing in a bell tent, in the garden or whatever.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Yeah.
So come on down in Armley. You can message the shop or message me on the Friendly Green Witch on Instagram.
Do you offer distant Reiki healings as well for people?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I'm practicing that at the moment. I'm willing to send it out. I've been sending it to you. I don't know if you felt it.
To be honest though, I may well have done, but I live in a state of just constant bliss anyway.
Bless you.
I have had a lot of stress though over the past few weeks because things have gone a bit tits up on my end. So it's one of those, isn't it, where all your stress kind of piles up. So I take absolutely any healing that I can get. So thank you for sending me that.
You're welcome. Yes.
So kind of you. Should we talk about air?
We should. We should talk about air.
We should warn you, air is one of the more confusing elements to get to grips with. It just seems a little bit more abstract than the others. To both me and Swales, I think. It may be a bit of a weird episode. And it's probably going to be Jodie dominated because
definitely
Swales has kind of been like, I don't know what I'm doing with with this one for a few weeks now, haven't you?
I don't know what it is about air. It's just, I guess, because you can't see it and you only really feel it when it, you know, like wind in your face or when it's interacting with other elements. And I think there's something about you can control the other elements. You know, you can make them do things for you. You can grow stuff in them. You can keep warm. You can pour water. But what can you do with air? Fly a kite?
Absolutely loads. And I have actually compared a list for everybody that would like to work with air. Would you like me to start with my list of things that you can do to connect with the element of air magically? So I'm going to start by telling you that actually wind spells, so this was taken from Eileen Holland's The Wicca Handbook, and she told us in that book that wind spells were important in the ancient world because ships depended on sails for power to raise wind. So people used to whistle three times in honour of the White Goddess before setting sail. Yeah.
That's cool.
So wind spells have always been really, really important. And actually one of the wind spells that many of us have used is to make a wish on a dandelion.
Of course.
Yeah. I also wish, which I kind of guess is air, on eyelashes, you know, like when an eyelash falls on your cheek, and I'll follow her through and I'll be like, oh, you've got a wish, and I'll pick it off her cheek and she kind of blows it and makes her wish.
Oh,
it's just a really, really cute, really personal, really nice way of connecting with your kids. So yeah, working in, you know, with sails, fans, windmills, kites, even balloons are all things that you can do with the element of air, as well as feathers that you can, you know, you can use feathers to honor the air, you know, on your altar or in your personal space. I guess you could use them as a symbol of air in spell work, or you can use them when you are to kind of waft your incense smoke around as well, kind of sweep it around. One of the ways of working with air is to work with fae and sylphs, which are the spirits, the elementals of the element of air, as well as one of my personal favorite things to do is to make your own incense. I mean, burning incense is fine, but making incense is really, really just a beautiful experience. And you can make incense that just smells nice if you want. You can also make incense for magical purposes, and when you make incense for magical purposes, it doesn't always smell nice. I will say that I have a Mars incense that I made, and it is intense. It's a powerful incense, but my god, it has so much chili in it. And, you know, it's a stinger. It's a real stinger. And your house smells like a curry when you're burning it. It smells like food. But it works. It does its job magically. I have other incenses that are magical and they smell really beautiful. When you make an incense, it's very much a case of raiding your kitchen cupboards. So that's your spice cupboard, your tea bags, if you have things like chamomile teas or blackcurrant teas in, and also your garden for things like lavender, fresh herbs, flowers. Whack it in a pestle and grind it up with your pestle and mortar. Is the pestle the bowl or the...
Ooh,
which
that's
way
a good
around
question.
Is it your pestle and mortar?
I think the mortar's the bowl and the pestle is the crusher.
Is it?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to look that up.
I have no idea.
Because you always have them together, so you never really question.
Yeah, you always have them.
It's a bit like Ant and Dec. You don't really question who's who.
Yeah. So crush it up in your pestle and mortar, and then you can burn it over some charcoal, over a charcoal disc. And you can get really, really varying scents and for a lot of reasons. One of my favourite ingredients to use in incense for tarot purposes specifically is mugwort, because it really helps sort of unlock your intuitive capabilities and your dream state. And another way of connecting with the element of air is smoking.
Jodie. Smoking. Can't say
Did
that.
Did you know that tobacco ceremonially is connected with the planet Mars? The actual pure tobacco, people have been smoking various herbs, both psychoactive and non-psychoactive, for millennia. I imagine people have been smoking herbs for as long as early as possible. I reckon that as soon as they found fire, they were like, that's it, we're off, we're getting stoned.
Not so good for your health though.
No, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't have a place in ceremonial use. And there are a lot of things that people do that have negative benefits for the health. So if people That's want true. To smoke something herbal, whether that is legal or not, isn't any of my business. If they want to do that as part of the practice, that's up to them. And there's no judgment here. I can recommend as a really, really nice smoking blend. Conscious Crystal have made their own blend of herbs and plants. It's non-psychoactive. It's just literally like things like rose petals, lavenders, but these are smoking blends, and you can buy them from Conscious Crystal. They have an online shop as well, so they're Conscious Crystal UK on Instagram, and they are really, really lovely to use for sort of magical purposes too. And then we also have one of the most important elements of the craft, and one of the earliest things that you learn on any sort of magical path or therapeutic or spiritual path is breathwork. A lot of the time people do things like pranayama or box breathing, which is where you literally inhale for 4 seconds, hold for 4 seconds, exhale for 4 seconds, and hold for 4 seconds, and you just do that over and over again. And after a while it becomes quite thrilling for a lot of people. And
I suppose because we do it so automatically, it is something else we take for granted, because as bodies just do it as we live, you know, breathing in, breathing out. But when you do take a moment with your breath, it is classed as meditation, even if it's just
having
a quick 5 minutes every day. It will be so massively beneficial for your health and well-being.
It has astronomical benefits for your magical practice. This is something that I can attest to, is that actually if I had to choose between doing breath work and meditation and doing nothing else in my craft in terms of things like spells or devotion or having an altar or anything, I would say that the breath work and meditation is so much more important, especially for getting results. So for getting magical results, you want to master control over yourself, over your physical body, and over your mind. So breath work being one way of doing that, but also things like being able to sit motionlessly, you know, being able to sit and imagine that you're sitting like cement or like jelly and just lay there without moving any part of your body for even 5 minutes. It's a huge challenge. If you can do that while controlling your breath, it's incredible. And once you get like used to it, you can meditate while doing that, and your results absolutely mind-blowing.
It's so hard though. I can't sit down and do nothing. I'm so bad at meditating. I'm so bad because capitalism tells me I should be busy creating things, making money, having a clean house, being active all the time, and I work really hard to go against it, but it just doesn't
you can
come
meditate
easy.
While doing those things though. So that's another thing, is it's a misconception that I think a lot of people have, and understandably, that to meditate is time out from real life. When I was young, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, and it's not something that I talk about a lot. When I was young, because obviously I have hair loss, I actually had trichotillomania, so I pulled my hair out because I had PTSD. And as a way of dealing with this, my mum sent me to a place called Brahma Kumaris, which was a meditation centre, and they teach a kind of meditation called Raja Yoga. Interestingly, it's actually the kind of meditation that Crowley was really, really into. You know, Aleister Crowley was really into it. It's not yoga physically. It's nothing to do with your body. You don't need to wear your gym clothes. You literally are sat in a chair. It's about controlling your mind, controlling your thoughts, making sure that your thoughts aren't wasteful, so that you can be as productive as you can in your day-to-day life. So when you do Raja Yoga, you learn to be in a state of peace, not by tapping out. So I think there are meditations where you do kind of set out time and you're like, I'm going to lay there for 10 minutes and I'm going to meditate with my eyes shut and my headphones on. And that is something that you couldn't like just do that at work without anybody noticing. Where with Raja Yoga, the idea is that if you work, say, in nursing, one of your patients is kicking off at you and your head's going to go with them, or you're going to act unprofessionally, then you can drop yourself into this state of remembering that you're a being of peace. Yeah, having control over your mind, not thinking wasteful thoughts as well. So having control over your mind when you're on your own is really, really good if you've got like trauma, or if you kind of cycle over negative thought patterns or fear-based blockages, all these different things that we, I think, really, really identify with that absolutely plague our minds. You learn to just switch it off.
It's like hot thoughts, isn't it? It's like CBT hot thought stuff.
Perhaps. I mean, I did CBT numerous times and it always re-traumatised me. So they were like, she can't do this. Yeah, she can't do this.
Sounds like it'd be good for parenting when you're getting pissed off with your kid not doing what you tell them.
Absolutely. They have, which is an amazing resource for kids. If you look up Brahma Kumari's 1 minute meditations, because I don't know what the exact website would be. It's like justaminute.com or something really, really cliche like that. But Brahma Kumaris actually have 1 minute meditations which are aimed at people of all ages, which I think is really, really lovely. And I did them with Eartha from when she was about maybe 18 months old. There was one where it was like just a minute of blowing bubbles of pee, which I think would be really, really lovely as an air exercise for some of you, because they're just imagining that they're blowing bubbles and the bubbles filling with peace and sending peace out among the world. And it's just takes a minute, literally 1 minute.
I like that, yeah, because we do bubbles all the time. I mean, how great are bubbles? When you go anywhere, I take bubbles with me, because when they get angry and cross, I just blow bubbles. And that helps them just chill. So I might be doing it already.
So obviously we've started with loads of activities for you guys to begin to work with the element of air. But what is the element of air and why is it so tricky for people to get their heads around? The element of air is associated with communication, thoughts and inspiration. Things that, you know, that might once have travelled through the air. I guess the voice would have been carried through the air, and the communication element of it probably came through that, because you kind of speak into the air, don't you? And then, yeah, so it's also associated with things like birds, flight, messages. And in the tarot, it's associated with the suit of swords, which rules over the mental world. Interesting to note, for any of you that are interested in tarot, swords are the suit that have crap in them.
They're really
dreadful. Yeah,
I hate the swords.
Really. Yeah,
they're just like a no nonsense suit, aren't they? They're just like, cut the bullshit. Yeah,
ruin, loss, grief, betrayal.
Every time there's a sword, it's like, oh fucking hell, it's a sword. Yeah.
But the reason that's associated with the mental world, and I guess that's why it's communication, is you communicate it's like your way of getting your thoughts out of your head and into the world, isn't it? But the reason that swords are associated with the mental world, and that this negativity is associated with the mental world, because I think people could say, well, if it's about air, shouldn't it be about clarity and communication and being dynamic and being inspiring, or thinking about your thoughts or what have you, or messages or something along those lines? But actually, so the reason that swords are ruled by the mental world and that somehow equates to negativity is that a lot of people would say that the only place that you can suffer is in your mind. And I mean, we all know that getting a Chinese burn kills.
Yeah.
But your mind has, I guess, massive influence of all the pain that you feel. And a lot of the time with the swords, it's that you're letting your thoughts win and, you know, letting them get on top of you. And, you know, all the suffering is caused by people overthinking and overthinking, being up in the head and letting that stress and anxiety build up. So it is overall quite a negative suit. The other card that I think is really important to talk about when we talk about the air element is the Fool. There are 22 major arcana cards. 7 of them relate to your classical planets. I think nowadays people sometimes add the other 3 to the modern planets. I don't like that way, and I don't think there are many sort of traditionalists that do. To me, the Fool will never be Uranus. And anyway, so you have 7 that are associated with your classical planets, 12 that are associated with your zodiac, and then you have 3 which are associated with your elements. Why not 4, you may ask? I may have told you this in the fire episode, I don't remember, but I'm going to tell you again. Why not 4? Because we are the representatives of Earth. We live on Earth. We are the most tangible, you know, we are fully incorporated beings, and that's what the element of Earth means and relates to. So we represent the Earth. The card that represents air, so we have Earth is just us, so it doesn't exist in the tarot. also wasn't classed as like a classical planet, so there isn't a card for Earth specifically. In those planetary cards, you have for fire, there is judgment, which is very much a biblical reference, like the fires of judgment. For water, you have the hanged man, which we did speak about
we
once.
Did. I remember speaking about that. I was quite surprised by it, yeah.
And for air, we've got the Fool, which I think is lovely because he is a bit of an airhead. And I think the idea of like having a leap of faith, like somewhere during that leap of faith is that moment where you are just free falling through the air.
Well, he's running to a cliff, isn't he? He's going to dive off a cliff. Crazy.
Yeah, if he dives off, what's going to happen? He's going to go flying through the air, isn't he? Which is, I guess who knows where he might land? Who's to say what's under that cliff? It might look scary to us from the outside, but who's to say it's not a great whopping trampoline that bounces you into, like, the Fool's party? I don't know.
It's like, if you don't try, you're never going to know. I think that's the message, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Take a leap of faith, take a jump, have a new fresh start. And I think as well, the Fool's the first card in the Major Arcana. And air was, I think the Fool is, when you look at the Fool traditionally in, say, a Marseille deck, he's got a village in the background of the card, and that shows that he's quite separate from others. He's sort of seen as being like separate from society because he's a bit too mad for them. And air is actually seen as being quite separate elementally and magically speaking from the other elements. The elements are split into active and passive, which is essentially masculine and feminine. Active elements are fire and air. Your passive ones are water and earth. Now, fire and air are seen as being light, water and earth are seen as being heavy, but air is also seen as being a huge source of life, I guess in a similar way to water, because air binds everything together. So actually, I was reading the Agrippa book recently, you know, the three occult books of philosophy by Henry Cornelius Agrippa. It's one of the texts that is really, like, when you look at any books on Wicca or paganism, they're all referencing that book, as well as a few others. So they're usually always referencing Agrippa, Eliphas Lévi, Neoplatonism, or Crowley. And in this book, Agrippa says that it's seen as like the glue that holds all the other elements together. And we kind of know that with water, like it's H2O, isn't it? It's like hydrogen and then oxygen in it. So it's like it's...
Would you say that all the other elements kind of need air, don't they, to survive?
They all do, yeah.
Because there's air in water. Yeah. You need air for fire.
Is fuel for fire.
Yeah, the earth.
And then for earth, well, the earth is one of the more interesting ones because think of pollination and seed spreading and things like that.
Oh, yeah. This is why I love magic. It is everywhere, literally. Walking to school, we go past loads of flowers and I'm always taking pictures and shoving them on my Instagram because it's just so, like, magical, isn't it? It's just like, look at this amazing flower, this bee and this flower and, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
That's another thing as well, thinking about bees, thinking about like the role that like insects and birds and things that have, you know, the ecosystem, I guess. And I think the ecosystem, it would be easy to lump under air or water. I think it'd be hard to lump it under fire. There's not much that survives in fire, which just I guess is why it's the card of judgment. But yeah, another way that air ties in with earth is, and this is a bit of a, I was thinking about deities that are associated with air, you know, gods and goddesses. One of the main ones that really really has had a boom over the past few years, to the point that if anything, I think sometimes it can venture into being a bit cringe depending on who you're talking to, but is Lilith. And Lilith is seen as both earth and air in terms of elements, and the reason being that she rules over sandstorms, Now, can you imagine being in a desert and a sandstorm whipping you in the face and blowing sand in your eyes? It's absolutely hideous. I used to work in a nursery. I don't know how many of our listeners work in a nursery or have maybe just been to like a sand pit. But like the sand, when you work in a nursery and it's like there's a big gust of wind because you're in like Yorkshire and the sand's like blasting you in the eyes. It is hell. So actually being in like whatever the equivalent of like a desert tsunami, like a dry tsunami of sand, I think it's just terrifying. Yeah. The other deities that are really, really worth talking about, there's one who is unavoidable, and that is Mercury. And that's because they are also seen as a planet and the planet of communication. So Mercury is, you know, the planet that's associated with air. So say like a lot of the signs of the zodiac are related with Mercury, especially Gemini, a lot of the air signs. And Mercury is also about traveling. Like, so the god was about travel. So I think of those ships, those sails, those early ways of traveling the world, as well as communication. Now, this is why astrologically, when Mercury is in retrograde, people say that communication goes tits up. And it's not a good time to speak with anyone, to try use technology, to expect anything to work. I think more and more people know about Mercury in retrograde over the past, because we used to all say, oh, it's a full moon. Oh, yeah, my kids are tantruming because it's a full moon. And now it's, yeah, my work's going dreadfully because Mercury's in retrograde.
It seems to be all the time. It seems to be in retrograde all the time.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's getting beyond a joke, really, isn't it? Someone needs to have work.
Like, what you're doing? Behave up there in bloody space.
Did you see that meme that said Mercury's putting a whole Mercussy into this retrograde?
No! Oh my god.
Yeah. One of the other deities that I think is really, really fascinating to work with and who I have an increasing interest in is Thoth, which is probably pronounced Tehuti originally.
What? Tehuti? Yeah.
The deck, you know, the Thoth deck is actually called the Tehuti deck. It's just that we all say Thoth. It's Egyptian, isn't it?
That is crazy.
So Thoth is the god of wisdom, magic, and writing. And let me just quickly Google, because I was thinking about, I'm sure it's Thoth that had a little monkey on his shoulder. So he was very intellectual, but there was a god who was a god of intellect and communication. And he had a little monkey that lived on his shoulder and was just there to mock everything that he said.
What is that on a card?
It's related with the magician tarot card. Let me find it. I bet it's Lomilo Duquette that I read that in. Sorry, I'm on the page. Thoth and Mercury are the same deity. In the right-hand corner of the magician card in the Thoth deck, you have a little creature which is the personification of the curse that afflicts Thoth / Mercury and all who attain the grade of Magus. Now, this is quoted directly from Lomilo Duquette's Understanding the Thoth Tarot book, which is incredible, and I highly recommend it. It's one of my favourite books. And it says, this curse afflicts Thoth, Mercury, and all who attain the grade of Magus because falsehood and misunderstanding are inherent in all speech and writing. So it's the cosmic duty of the Ape of Thoth to constantly mock the work of the Magus and distort his words, which I think is like just pretty interesting, isn't it? Like he has this little ape that mocks and twists everything he says, so it doesn't matter how intelligent he is. It's gonna twist everything and everything just up for him.
It's just so swordsy. It's like such a swords move.
It's just a troll move, isn't it? It's like full trolling. And it happens, doesn't it? Like it happens where you say something and someone just completely misunderstands you and there's nothing you can do about it, and you can try explain yourself till you're blue in the face, but it's difficult to rectify, isn't it? One of the things I thought it might be worth talking about would be, you know, sort of leading on from the swords really, is the athame, which is the tool that represents, or one of the tools that represents, the element of air. And the athame is used for energetic cutting. It's an extension of your will and your determination. So it's similar to what many of you would expect of a wand, really. But yeah, it's an extension of your will and your determination, and you can use it to invoke elemental lords and to send forth power to banish or cleanse energies, entities, or just your working area.
And you use an athame, don't you?
I love my athame, yeah.
I don't have one.
You need to get one.
Well, you were saying a finger's pretty good, so I'm probably just going to stick with my finger.
Finger's pretty good for anything. But, I mean, we all love a good finger, don't we? If you've got another tool
that I knew you were going to say that! I knew you were going to say it!
If you've got another tool that does the job a bit better, then why use your finger? Especially when it can be a magnificent and majestic tool, such as an athame.
Such as an athame. I'll put it on my wish list.
Yeah, just get one. It doesn't have to be anything flashy.
It's got to be right, though, hasn't it? It's got to be right.
It doesn't. It just has to be, because it's you consecrating it that makes it right.
And so it could be a butter knife. Could it be a butter knife? No.
Not. I think one of the mistakes that people sometimes make is getting trapped in a consumer trap.
Which is me.
With the craft. Yeah, I'm not trying to call you out. I'm trying to let like everyone else know.
Oh, triggered. I'm so triggered.
Our listeners, whatever you call it. Yeah, I don't want our listeners to think that they have to have perfect tools to be an effective and an incredible witch. You can have tools that aren't, you know, handcrafted lovingly by blacksmith.
On Etsy.
Technician on Etsy, yeah. Yeah.
But they are so lovely and they look so nice and they're so Instagrammable.
And they do look nice and they are Instagrammable, but what's more important is having a tool that works for your craft and that's functional. And in fact, one of the most beautiful and Instagrammable tools that I love. I could have one as like decor for my home, but I would not use one as an athame. Have you seen those resin athames?
Yes.
They're so pretty. They're like resin and they're like flat and they've got like flowers in them. They're nice, but like I feel like that it's an unnatural material that's been used, and yeah,
it's just not very threatening. I think we spoke about this. Was it on the intro?
Not very threatening. It's not going to cut anything. So how is it going to cut energies? And
you'd be better with a butter knife.
Yeah, you'd be better with a butter knife.
I might just add poetry, speaking thoughts and speaking is connected to air, isn't it? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say my poetry is connected to the air element.
Well, I've said I haven't had chance and poetry.
Yeah.
Chants and poetry.
Yeah. And I've wrote a poem about air just for this episode.
Have you? Are you going to read it now?
I shall read it. I'll shove it at the end like I do because it's a bit of a pan then, isn't it? It's funny that I had poetry about fire and earth and water and I didn't have one for air, so I had to create one. So it just made me go even in my poetry, air is avoided.
Yeah, that's interesting, is that?
I think I need to be a bit more forgiving with the element and not avoid it as much as I actually do. Wow, so there's a lot about air I haven't really thought of. There's also an aspect of we don't depend on air as much as we used to in terms of ships. But then, of course, we're riding planes in the sky with the birds. And we're also using clean energy sources such as wind power, windmills, things like that. So the tides may change and we may end up needing air more than we realise the way the world's going. I have the book Earth, Air, Fire and Water from Scott Cunningham. Just looking through air spell I can share with you, as I always do. There's one called Go on a Journey. And if you need to go somewhere but you haven't the means to do so, try this. Start with a plain sheet of paper. Yellow paper is ideal, but it's not essential. Grasp the paper in your projective hand, face east, and hold the paper in that direction while saying, "This is my tool of transportation." Repeat to the south, the west, and the north, saying the same words. Now, on a flat surface, using a pencil, write the name of your destination on this piece of paper. Use large letters and be specific. Glastonbury rather than England or France, rather than Europe. Visualise yourself at your destination as you write. Draw the magical symbol for travel several times around your destination. I suppose that could be like a travel sigil you create. Press your projective hand against the sheet of paper. Strongly visualise yourself in that place again. Next, fold the paper into a paper aeroplane. can be one of your own design or use instructions off the internet. The paper aeroplane must be able to fly. This is very important. As you fold and crease one of the two-dimensional objects into three-dimensional one, really see and feel what it will be like in your destination. Visualise yourself already being there. Then go outside or open a window, hold the completed aeroplane in your projective hand and say these words or something similar. Blowing wind, surging strong, restless one of air. Send me where I belong, O winds, take me there. Repeat this line at least 9 times, continuing to visualise, feeling the power build up within you as your muscles tighten. As you say, take me there, the last time. Launch your plane into the air. It should sail freely for several feet, aim upwards rather than at the ground. And as it flies, it releases the energy that you've given it into the element of air. Retrieve the aeroplane, thread a needle with yellow thread, push the thread through the aeroplane and hang it by this thread from the ceiling or somewhere high in the place of your home until it's time to leave. Once this occurs, take down the aeroplane, unfold the paper and take it with you. And then after you've returned, tear the paper into small pieces and properly dispose of it, recycle it if possible or burn it. This ritual can be used for all kinds of travel. It's not restricted to air travel. That's pretty cool, isn't it? To finish with, I will read you my poem about air that I wrote just for this podcast, seeing as I didn't actually have one. A gap in the elements in terms of poetry. Pretty cool though that poems are considered relative to the air elemental. Air. I can feel the gentle hands on my hair. I can hear the faint whistle by my ear and the movement of my pages trying to catch my attention. In this moment, a kind element, but can alter at any time with the power to move the clouds like a cotton wool conveyor belt, obstructing the sun rays. I feel the change in the atmosphere, now of a darker nature than the sun-filled day. A mysterious element, we cannot see it, but we can feel it. Breathe it, think it, say it. Allow it to catch us like a falling feather. It is the swift's playground that belongs to the birds in the sky. This is the elemental of air. Once again, thank you for joining us on our podcast. Sorry it took a while to get to you this time, but half term prevented things happening. The next one will be the last elemental of earth, where me and Jodie are talking about getting a guest speaker on about natural foraging from Mother Earth and Gaia. I am Emma Swales with my witchy friend Jodie Jones, who produced and written this podcast. Music is by Jeff Hardy and it is recorded on Zencastr. Thank you so much for listening, and if you've got the time, rate and review us and share us and get in contact with us if you want us to talk about anything cool or interesting or unusual. All right, witches, until next time, bye.